Now, Psalm 5, as with all the Psalms, in fact, is a prayer. Listen to my words, Lord. Consider my lament. We see that in verse 1. Hear my cry for help, my King and my God, for to you I pray. Verse 2. In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning I lay my requests before you and wait expectantly. Verse 3. David prays to the Lord, doesn't he? This psalm is a prayer. You see, each day brings its own cares and concerns into our lives, doesn't it? Each day. Each day brings its own anxieties and troubles. Therefore, each day, we need to bring those cares and concerns, those anxieties and troubles to the Lord in prayer. 1 Peter 5, verse 7, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Now that's why David prays, doesn't he, in verse 3. In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my requests before you and wait expectantly. For prayer is to be regular, isn't it? In the morning, each day, in the morning, David brings his requests to the Lord. Prayer is to be regular. Prayer is to be a daily exercise. That's the first lesson, right there on the surface of this psalm. Secondly, prayer is also a looking up to God. That's what we do when we pray. Prayer is taking our eyes off the things of this world, even all those anxieties and concerns, even all those cares and troubles. It's taking our eyes off the things of this world and it's setting our eyes upon eternal things, upon God himself. David comes to the Lord's presence, doesn't he, in verse 7. Now, if our eyes and our hearts are set upon God, then we will put, in some measure at least, we will put the issues of this world into perspective. Isn't that true? Yes, it is. We know that, don't we? Think of the difference, for example, between Lot and Abraham back in Genesis 13. In Genesis 13:10, we read that Lot looked around and saw that the whole plain of the Jordan towards Zoar was well watered. In other words, Lot's eyes were on this world, weren't they? Whereas in contrast, Abraham's eyes were upon the Lord. His eyes and his heart were controlled not by this world around us, no, but they were controlled by eternal realities. So prayer helps us to look up to God away from this world. Helps us to set our hearts on eternal things. It helps us to get things into the right perspective. So important. And if we forsake prayer, then we lose that perspective on life. Thirdly, finally, and we'll spend a little bit longer on this third point. Prayer is also an expression of appreciation and worship for our undeserved salvation from God's hand. For in prayer we express, don't we, our love and our adoration for God's grace which has been lavished upon us in saving us. In prayer we praise God, we thank God for the renewed relationship with him that we receive in Christ. Last time, if you recall, we saw how a restored relationship with God, it's the very heart of our salvation. Psalm 4 verse 3, know that the Lord has set apart his faithful servant for himself. Well, in this psalm, in Psalm 5, David unfolds some of the different aspects of that renewed relationship, that restored relationship that we have with God. So let me bring out just three of those different aspects of our renewed relationship with God. First, notice how our relationship with God is based upon, it's grounded upon God's love and mercy. This is seen particularly in verse 7. Psalm 5, verse 7. But I, by your great love, can come into your house. In reverence I bow down towards your holy temple. God's love, God's mercy, you see, is the basis, isn't it, of our acceptance with the Lord. God's grace is the underlying root cause, so to speak, of our being accepted into the Lord's presence. It's God's grace, it's God's love, it's God's mercy towards us in Christ. In other words, for us to know God as a loving Father and not as a fearful judge, for us, we need to experience, don't we, His forgiveness. We need to experience His undeserved kindness towards us in Christ. We need to experience His great mercy, His love. Now, David knew that. For David had committed adultery. David had committed murder, in fact. David had been dissatisfied with what God had given to him in his life. And David had sought satisfaction, not with God, but away from God, within this world. However, despite David's awful sin, David knew God's amazing forgiveness. David knew that he had been accepted by God, not because of his own goodness, but because of God's great mercy and love. David's faith, you see, David's faith was in God, in who he was, and in his gracious character, and in his wonderful salvation. David's faith was in God. Now, like David, we all stand guilty before God's justice, don't we? There is no exception. We all do. But again, like David, we also stand accepted by God if we have faith in Jesus Christ. It's not because of anything we've done, for our thoughts and our actions and our words all deserve God's condemnation. That's what we deserve. But no, we stand accepted by God because of His great mercy and love towards us in Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2, verse 8. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. So that's the first thing, David's faith. Second, not only is our renewed relationship with God based upon great mercy and love, David's faith in God, it also leads to Christ-likeness in our lives. Psalm 5, verse 8. Lead me, Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before me. David wants to travel, doesn't he? The way of the Lord. David wants to be led in the righteousness of God. In other words, those who have experienced God's grace, mercy and love are precisely those who in turn love God, verse 11. And it's those who want to express that love for God by a life of holiness before God and a life of love towards others. Lead me, Lord, in your righteousness. You see, a Christian not only has faith in God, he also expresses love within his life. Saving faith is also persevering faith. And persevering faith is witnessed by love. Galatians 5, verse 6. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. There it is. Significantly, immediately after telling us that we are saved by grace, not by works, so that no one can boast, in Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, Paul goes on to write, doesn't he? In Ephesians 2, verse 10, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So our renewed relationship with God is based upon faith, and it's expressed in love. Thirdly, finally, our renewed relationship with God also provides guilt-edged hope. This is seen in Psalm 5, verses 11 and 12. But let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you. Surely, Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with favor as with a shield. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that wonderful? Doesn't that thrill your heart? We know where we've come from. We're sinners saved by God's great mercy and love. We know where we should be at this moment in time, in the way of the Lord, in his righteousness. And we know where we're going. The Lord blesses the righteous. You see, this wonderful relationship we now have with the Lord, which we experience in part within this world today, this wonderful relationship we will continue to enjoy, and in even greater measure, in his presence in glory. As verse 11 tells us, we are to be glad. We are to ever sing for joy. We are to rejoice in him. Well, let me put it in this way. Our experience of God's mercy and love in this life gives us confidence, doesn't it, in God concerning our life in the future. For as we've truly experienced God's gracious presence with us in our lives within this world, so we know that God will not leave us when we come to die. David knew this. That's why David writes as he does in Psalm 5. It's also why David writes as he does in Psalm 16, a little bit further on in the Psalms. Listen to these words of David, Psalm 16, verse 2. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. Then verse 8. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. And verse 11. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Do you see it? A hope for the future is confident hope. That's what David had, confident hope. Why is that? Because we've tasted and experienced God's presence with us here and now. You make known to me the path of life, David writes. Here and now. Therefore, David goes on, you will fill me with joy in your presence. Do you see it? Because we have experienced God's grace in our lives today, we have confidence that God will not leave us and that we will enjoy joy in his presence forevermore. Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 3, we remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, may we also pray like David does in Psalm 5. Amen.